Krishna Book, Canto 14, Sudama, Chapter 81, Scene 2, Sudama, benedicted by Lord Krishna. Thinking in this way, the learned Brahmana gradually reached his own home. But upon reaching there, Sudama saw that everything was wonderfully changed. Sudama saw that in place of his cottage, there were big palaces made of valuable stones and jewels, glittering like the sun, moon, and rays of fire. And not only were there big palaces, but at intervals there were beautifully decorated parks in which many beautiful men and women were strolling. In those parks there were nice lakes full of lotus flowers and beautiful lilies, and there were flocks of multicolored birds. Seeing the wonderful conversion of his native place, the Brahmana Sudama began to think to himself, "How am I seeing all these changes? Does this place belong to me or to someone else? If it is indeed the same place where I used to live, then how has it so wonderfully changed?" And while the learned Brahmana Sudama was considering all this, a group of beautiful men and women with features resembling those of demigods, accompanied by musical chanters, approached to welcome him. All of them were singing auspicious songs. Then the wife of Sudama became very glad upon hearing the tidings of her husband's arrival, and with great haste she also came out of the palace. The Brahmana's wife appeared so beautiful that it seemed as if the goddess of fortune herself had come to receive him. As soon as she saw her husband present before her, tears of joy began to fall from her eyes, and her voice became so choked up that she could not even address her husband. She simply closed her eyes in ecstasy. But with great love and affection, she bowed down before her husband, and within herself she thought of embracing him. She was fully decorated with a gold necklace and ornaments, and so, while standing among the maidservants, she appeared like the wife of some demigod just alighting from an airplane. Surprised to see his wife so beautiful, the Brahmana Sudama, in great affection and without even saying a word, entered the palace along with his wife. When the Brahmana entered his personal apartment in the palace, Sudama saw that it was not an apartment, but the residence of the King of Heaven. The palace was surrounded by many columns of jewels. The couches and bedsteads were made of ivory, bedecked with gold and jewels, and the bedding was as white as the foam of milk, and as soft as a lotus flower. There were many whips hanging from golden rods, and many golden thrones with sitting cushions as soft as the lotus flower. In various places there were velvet and silken canopies with laces of pearls hanging all around. The structure of the building was standing on first-class transparent marble, with engravings made of emerald stones. All the women in the palace were carrying lamps made of valuable jewels. The flames and Syamantaka jewels combined to produce a wonderfully brilliant light. When the Brahmana Sudama saw his position suddenly changed to one of opulence, and when Sudama could not determine the cause for such a sudden change, he began to consider very gravely how it so happened, and he thus began to think. From the beginning of my life, I have been extremely poverty-stricken. So what could be the cause of such great and sudden opulence? I do not find any cause other than the all-merciful glance of my friend Lord Krishna, the chief of the Yadu dynasty. Certainly, these are gifts of Lord Krishna's causeless mercy. Lord Krishna is self-sufficient. He is the husband of the goddess of fortune. And thus Krishna is always full with six opulences. Krishna can understand the mind of his devotee, and Krishna sumptuously fulfills the devotee's desires. All these are acts of my friend, Lord Krishna. My beautiful dark friend Krishna is far more liberal than the cloud which can fill up the great ocean with water. Without disturbing the cultivator with rain during the day, the cloud brings liberal rain at night just to satisfy him. And yet, when the cultivator wakes up in the morning, he still considers that it has not rained enough. Similarly, Lord Krishna fulfills the desires of everyone according to his or her position. And yet, one who is not in Krishna consciousness considers all the gifts of Lord Krishna to be less than one's desire. On the other hand, when Lord Krishna receives a little thing in love and affection from his devotee, Krishna considers it a great and valuable gift. The vivid example is myself, for I simply offered Krishna a morsel of chipped rice, and in exchange, Krishna has given me opulences greater than the opulence of the King of Heaven. What the devotee actually offers Lord Krishna is not needed by Lord Krishna, for Krishna is self-sufficient. If the devotee offers something to Lord Krishna, it simply acts for the devotee's own interest, because whatever a devotee offers Lord Krishna comes back in a quantity a million times greater than what was offered. One does not become a loser by giving to Lord Krishna, but he or she becomes a gainer by millions of times. Sudama, feeling great obligation to Krishna, thought, I pray to have the friendship of Lord Krishna and to engage in his service and fully surrender unto him in love and affection, life after life. I do not want any opulence. I only desire not to forget Krishna's service. I simply wish to be associated with Krishna's pure devotees. May my mind and activities be always engaged in Krishna's service. The unborn Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna knows that many great personalities have fallen from their positions because of extravagant opulence. Therefore, even when Krishna's devotee asks for some opulence from him, Lord Krishna sometimes does not give it. Krishna is very cautious about his devotees. Because a devotee in an immature position of devotional service, if offered great opulence, may fall from his or her position due to being in the material world. So Lord Krishna does not offer opulence to the devotee. But this is another manifestation of the causeless mercy of Lord Krishna upon his devotee. Krishna's first interest is that the devotee may not fall down. Krishna is exactly like a well-wishing father who does not give much wealth into the hand of his immature son, but who, when the son is grown up and knows how to spend the money, gives him the whole treasury house. Sudama, the learned Brahmana, thus concluded that whatever opulences he had received from Lord Krishna should not be used for his extravagant sense gratification, but rather for the service of Lord Krishna. The Brahmana accepted his newly acquired opulence, but Sudama did so in a spirit of renunciation, unattached to sense gratification. And thus Sudama lived very peacefully with his wife, enjoying all the facilities of opulence as prasadam of Lord Krishna. Sudama enjoyed varieties of foodstuff by offering it first to Lord Krishna and then taking it as prasadam. Similarly, if by the grace of Lord Krishna we get such opulences as material wealth, fame, power, education, and beauty, it is our duty to consider that these are all gifts of Lord Krishna and must be used for his service, not for our own sense enjoyment. And thus, the learned Brahmana Sudama remained in that position, and instead of deteriorating due to great opulence, Sudama's love and affection for Lord Krishna increased day after day. Material opulence can be the cause of degradation and also the cause of elevation according to the purposes for which it is used. If opulence is used for sense gratification, it is the cause of degradation. And if it is used for the service of Lord Krishna, it is the cause of elevation. It is evident from Lord Krishna's dealings with Sudama Vipra that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very, very pleased with a person possessed of Brahminical qualities. A qualified Brahmana like Sudama Vipra is naturally a devotee of Lord Krishna. Therefore, it is said, Brahmano Vaishnavaha. A Brahmana is a Vaishnava. Or sometimes it is said, Brahmana Pandita. Pandit means a highly learned person. A Brahmana cannot be foolish or uneducated. Therefore, there are two divisions of Brahmanas, namely Vaishnavas and Pandits. Those who are simply learned are called Pandits, but not yet devotees of Lord Krishna or Vaishnavas. Lord Krishna is not especially pleased with such Pandits, for simply the qualification of being a learned Brahmana is not sufficient to attract the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A Brahmana must not only be well qualified according to the requirements stated in scriptures, such as Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, but at the same time, a Brahmana must be a devotee of Lord Krishna. The vivid example is Sudama Vipra. Sudama was a qualified Brahmana, unattached to all sorts of material sense enjoyment, but at the same time, he was a great devotee of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna, the enjoyer of all sacrifices and penances, is very fond of a Brahmana like Sudama Vipra. And we have seen by the actual behavior of Lord Krishna how much Krishna adores such kind of Brahmana. Therefore, the ideal stage of human perfection is to become a Brahmana Vaishnava, like Sudama Vipra. Sudama Vipra realized that although Lord Krishna is ajita or unconquerable, Krishna nevertheless agrees to be conquered by his devotees. Sudama realized how kind Lord Krishna was to him, and Sudama was always in trance, constantly thinking of Krishna. By such constant association with Lord Krishna, whatever darkness of material contamination was remaining in his heart was completely cleared away, and very shortly, Sudama was transferred to the spiritual kingdom, which is the goal of all saintly persons in the perfectional stage of life. Shukadeva Goswami has stated that all persons who hear this history of Sudama Vipra and Lord Krishna will know just how affectionate Lord Krishna is to the Brahmana devotees like Sudama. Therefore, anyone who hears this history gradually becomes as qualified as Sudama Vipra and is thus transferred to the spiritual kingdom of Lord Krishna. Thus ends Chapter 81, Scene 2, Sudama, benedicted by Lord Krishna. All glories to Krishna Book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Manasa deho geho jo kichu mor arpilu tua pade nanda kishor sampade vipade jivane marane Jai mama gela tua o pada barane marobi rakobi jo icha tohar nitya das prati tua adhikara Janmau bimoi ichajadi chor bhakta grihe jani janmahau mor kita janmahau jatha tua das Bahimukha Brahma Janme Nahi Asha Bhukti Mukti Sriha Vihina Je Bhakta Labaite Thako Sangha Anurakta Janaka Janani Daita Chana Prabhu Guru Patituhu Sarva Mor Bakati Vinod Kohe Shuna Khana Radha Natatuhu Hamara Param Manasa Deho Geho Jo Kichu Mor Arpilu Tuapade Nanda Kishore.
My mind, my body, my family, whatever may be mine, I have surrendered at your lotus feet, O youthful son of Nanda Maharaj. In good fortune or in bad, in life or at death, all my difficulties have disappeared by choosing those feet of yours as my only shelter. You may slay me or protect me as you wish, for you are the master of this eternal servant of yours. If it is your will that I be born again, then may it be in the home of your devotee. I may be born again even as a worm, so long as I remain your devotee, for I have no desire to be born even as a Lord Brahma who is adverse to you. I yearn for the company of that devotee who is completely devoid of all desire for worldly enjoyment or even liberation. Father, mother, lover, son, Lord, preceptor, husband, you are everything to me. Thus, Thakur Bhaktivinod says, O Kana, please hear me. O Lord of Radha, you are my life and soul. The following are comments from the previous Vaishnava Acharyas on this section before the advent of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Sridhar Swami points out that since Lord Krishna had turned Sudama's home into a heavenly abode, everyone living there now possessed beautiful bodies and attire appropriate to the residents of heaven. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti adds this insight, that the night before Sudama's return, Sudama's poor, emaciated wife had been sleeping in rags under a crumbling roof. But when she woke up in the morning, she found herself and her house wonderfully changed. Only for a moment was she confused, for she then realized that this opulence was Krishna's gift to her husband, who must be on his way home, and thus she prepared to greet him. Up until the moment that Sudama entered his new home, the Supreme Lord had kept Sudama in his wretched state so that his wife could recognize him. Sudama was simply astonished at the sight of his wife, and he wondered, "Who is this demigod's wife who has approached such a fallen soul as me?" But then the maidservants informed Sudama that this is indeed your wife. And at that very moment, Sudama's body became young and beautiful, bedecked in fine clothing and jewelry. The word prita indicates that these changes gave Sudama considerable pleasure. In the famous hymn known as the Thousand Names of Vishnu, contained in the Mahabharata, is immortalized Sudama's sudden opulence with the following phrase, Sridama Ranka Bhaktartha Bhumi Anitendra Vaibhava. Lord Vishnu is also known as he who brought Indra's opulence to this earth for the benefit of his pitiful devotee, Sudama. Sri Krishna is known as Bhuri Bhoja, the unlimited enjoyer. Krishna did not tell Sudama how he was going to fulfill his unspoken request because, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti, Krishna was thinking like this at that time. My dear friend has given me these grains of rice which are greater than all the treasures I own. Even though in his own house he had no such gift to bring me, he took the trouble of begging from a neighbor. Therefore, it is only proper that I give him something more valuable than all of my possessions. But nothing is equal to or greater than what I possess. So all I can do is give Sudama such meager things as the treasures of Indra, Brahma, and other demigods. Embarrassed at being unable to properly reciprocate his devotee's offering, Lord Krishna bestowed his favor on the Brahmana Sudama silently. Krishna acted just like a magnanimous rain cloud which provides the necessities of life for everyone near and far, but feels ashamed that its rain is too insignificant a gift to give in return for the abundant offerings the farmers make to it. Out of shame, the cloud may wait until nighttime when the farmers are asleep before watering their fields. The chiefs of the Dasharha clan, with whom Lord Krishna is identified, were especially renowned for their generosity. And as explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti, the humble Brahmana Sudama considered himself unworthy of the Supreme Lord's most rare and valuable benediction, known as pure devotional service. Sudama reasoned that if he had any true devotion, Krishna would have granted him perfect, unflinching devotion rather than the material riches and servants Sudama had received. Lord Krishna would have protected a more serious devotee by denying Sudama such distractions. Krishna gives a sincere but less intelligent devotee not as much material wealth as he or she desires, but only that amount which will promote one's devotional progress. So, Sudama thought a great saint like Prahlad Maharaj can avoid becoming contaminated by immeasurable wealth, power, and fame, but I must always be wary of temptation in my new situation. Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that even though Sri Krishna is the supreme ruler of creation, Krishna still accepts the Brahmanas as his masters. And although Krishna is the god of all gods, the Brahmanas are Krishna's deities. Even though Krishna is the Lord of all sacrifices, Krishna performs sacrifices to worship the Brahmanas. And finally, Srila Jiva Goswami mentions that Sudama's last trace of illusion lie in the subtle pride of being a renounced Brahmana. This trace was also destroyed by Sudama's contemplating the Supreme Lord's submission to his devotees.
Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshama. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Pahimam.